Well, in the last year or so, most of us are real familiar with Jay and Kathy Freeland as missionaries from our church to Guatemala. Some have gone to visit them, and it might be time to rally a team to come and to be with you guys there. And they were possibly not going to be here today, and I'm still going to talk about them a little bit. But they're heading to Florida for a couple days, see Jay's mom, and then back in the mission field on the 14th, right? And if you don't know, they work with Kids Alive International, a ministry to children at risk. And that's all over the world, but in their context, it's young girls that have been assaulted. They're pregnant. It's babies that are having babies, I mean, roughly, young girls. And just try and get your head around the darkness of that. And we'll leave it at that. But these young girls are rescued, they're loved, they're provided with protection, you know, justice as well, food and shelter, nurture and training, all with the light and love of Christ. Their experience of oppressive darkness has not overtaken them. Their experience of evil, oppressive darkness has not taken over them, has not overtaken them. And that last statement is one reason for the Magi's visit to Bethlehem. They came from a long way. And it's also for our own rising up in 2019 to offer light to those who remain in oppressive darkness. You know, to understand that even though there may be dark times, hard times for us, yes, for even church folks, the light overcomes the darkness. And for us to come alongside those who are in need of light. And Epiphany, the word means light. You know, today is Epiphany Sunday. We always have the first Sunday in January as Epiphany Sunday, but it falls on the exact day today. Epiphany is the word for light, Aramaic or Greek. It means manifestation. The manifestation of Messiah, of Jesus Christ, to all peoples, to us. Not just the Jewish people, it was to all nations. Spiritual light drawing the lost world out of darkness. Or penetrating the dark world with God's light. And traditionally, there's many churches that they'll read three scriptures today, and we actually do the second and third, the next couple weeks. The visit of the Magi today, then it's the baptism of our Lord next Sunday, and then it's Jesus' first sign in Cana of Galilee at the wedding where he turned water into wine and he revealed his glory. You know, all about the light, the manifestation of Jesus, the light of the world. So today the Magi, who are said to come from the east, they kind of give the story an exotic flavor. You know, they're to be seen as astronomers, astrologers, but they probably dabbled in all kinds of occult type practices. You know, who knows? But they were drawn from afar to God's light. It's powerful. You think about it. And they believed, you know, as astronomers, that the rising of a star is of world historical significance. So somebody great is being born. So they followed that star. They studied the heavens. But there's more than meets the eye in this word east. The word for east is really, it really means the rising. You know, they came from the rising. So the rising of the sun in that portion of the world. It's the word Anatole. And that word would have a number of meanings for Jewish Christian hearers of Matthew's story when they first heard it. Oh, the rising. It would pique their ears to Old Testament, to prophecy. And obviously, first, the rising of the sun in the east suggests the imagery of light, and that's salvation in the Bible. What Peg read today, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, from Isaiah 60. Has risen upon you, that's the same verb for the rising, Anatole. In Numbers 24, it speaks of a star that will rise out of Jacob. And that was interpreted as Messiah. You know, Messiah come from Jacob. And the Star of Bethlehem is to be understood in that way. I remember going to the planetarium outside, or in Chicago, as a kid. Every couple of years you'd go, you'd get the bus ride to the planetarium. And they would show the story and the history. And you'd lay back in chairs and probably half the kids would fall asleep. I never did, because they would shift the heavens back to that time, to that day and age when Jesus was born. And sure enough, there was a star, a bright star. So that's a little aside there. But the Star of Bethlehem. But that star indicates that Messiah has arrived. Even in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, the same or form of the word, he says that Matthew comments on Jesus' appearance in Capernaum. You know, that was the mission outpost, was Capernaum for Jesus and the disciples. He said, using, you know, citing Isaiah 8, it speaks of a light shining on those who dwell in darkness. And he chooses that same verb, a dawn from on high that will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. And lastly, in Jeremiah 23:5, it speaks of the branch that shoots up from a tree. Same verb, you know, a rising of different sorts, you know, a shoot, a branch shooting up from the stump. And we know that at the end of Matthew, Jesus, he's risen from the dead, and he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And that's what we have up here on one of our banners. Go and make disciples of all nations. And here, the beginning of Matthew chapter 2 is the Magi, representing all nations, coming to the light with all their crazy beliefs and thinking and occult practices, most likely, coming to worship the Christ child. Pretty amazing. So that's a little background. And again, our scripture for today, or another one, Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Now this is spiritual light, spiritual darkness. But we've had our winter solstice, literally more natural light. Have you noticed it since December 21st? Some, you know, what is it, 16 days, something like that? There's almost an hour more of light today than there was on December 21st, more daylight. And that's significant. And some of you, I don't know if I put this in my contact article, I think I did, Rick Mylander, a pastor, he mused on this. It's a strange time that, you know, we start to get more light, you know, at this time of year. Let me just read this. He writes, "It's curious to me that the first day of winter is also the first day of winter's demise. One might think winter's opening day would threaten more of the same, nothing but cold and dark barrenness. But lengthening sunshine mocks winter, scoffs at the cold, derides the bleakness, and each day after the sun rises just a little earlier and sets a little later. Winter anticipates spring." Amen to that. "Death foresees life. Dark predestines light. Cold imagines warmth. Light supersedes darkness. Solstice is here," he writes. "So let us celebrate the light," meaning of Christ, "and that we have more daylight." Well, for this morning and finishing up before communion, in Isaiah 60, it promised that the nations would come to God's people for light. You know, the exiles were back in Jerusalem. A dark time. Yes, they were given freedom to go and rebuild, and it was awful. And Isaiah prophesied, "Rise and shine. Your light has come." But then he said, "The nations will come to you for light. They'll even bring treasures to you." And then it talked about the camels, and that's probably why it's read with the wise men today. But Isaiah 60 promises the nations will come to God's people for light. because they find their darkness so oppressive. They're not finding answers. You know, without Christ, there are no answers. They're coming for truth. And maybe many of us are still searching and we're trying to find the right path. We know Jesus is the way, but I keep on meandering a bit. But we believe in the light, and people will come to the light. If we trust that God remains at work in the world, shining light, drawing people to light, His Spirit convicting people to repent and turn to Him. If we lift our eyes and rise up and keep faithful in our ministry, we will see amazing things happen. We'll find ways that God acts to dispel the darkness of the world. And God is working even before the church starts, right? Even before we get going. God's already there. It's never, hey, did you see what I did? Well, God was there before you. He did it, and you went along with Him, really. God gets the glory. But God works among the people of the world. And we have the grace and hope that the world needs. So in this new year, the church, we are part of that. We arise to mission. And we look out at the world to see where God has been at work, where God is still working. Do you see where God is working? In your own home, in your neighborhood, your workplace, your school? God is working. He's trying to get our attention. That person you don't really like is the one you're supposed to come alongside. I don't know if that's true, but for instance, that sticky situation, God is going to use it to shine light because of how you're thriving. It feels like you're going down the tubes, but you are thriving. You are shining brightly. However strong the darkness, we take heart. However powerful the rest of the world seems, God has chosen to work through the church. So when we start recognizing the needs around us, we can rise up out of any stupor and engage in ministry. So where is it that you see God working? I'm going to point out a few things for us as a church, which you may or may not be part of, you know, in the days ahead. But God is working all around us. And we're supposed to join Him in that work and shine His light. Because there are people all around us overwhelmed in their dark and oppressive existence. So one of our main goals this year, and it's already kind of happening, is developing a prisoner and family ministry. You know, many are involved in Kairos, and there's quite a number of folks here. I don't know the full number, but that write letters to those in prison. We won't do a show of hands, but it's got to be, you know, 10 plus. Writing to maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 prisoners. And some of those prisoners are part of our church family. And the families are here. And there's other from our community, our own town, or other towns close by. You know, for the letters, for visits, for care for family members, Angel Tree. You know, an Angel Tree originally, I mean, we do a great job, you know, buying presents for prisoners' families, and some people even meet the prisoners' families, but it's really meant to be follow-up all year round. And the present is a culmination of those relationships that we're building. Their website has so many things. It's like, wow, these people are really in need, you know, and they need help. They need support. So we're joined with two other covenant churches and maybe a fourth one in Litchfield because he's a covenant pastor. To come together to develop these ministries, to grow together and to learn and to, you know, be patient, but to see God work, especially in the correctional institutions. You know, how many here have been part of Kairos inside the prisons? So, yeah, there's a handful of folks. God is already in the prisons, and not just through Kairos. There's Alpha Ministries, and someone who has done this, talked to, you know, recently said, it's not for everybody, and that's probably right. But there can be a lot more of us involved in many ways to go into the prisons. Torch is a youth version of that, incarcerated youth. Is it the Mandinos? Rob and Dee Dee Mandino are really big in that, going into Cheshire, I think, and that, and Torch is fantastic for me, the youth. But we need men and women. We need men and women to apply. Hopefully I'm not throwing my wife under the bus, but both of us are going to apply to be part of a Kairos team. York, the only women's facility, and that's where Jen Labby is. They're having a spring Kairos. So maybe some of the sisters here, maybe if you would like to be on that team, you have to make application, you get cleared by the prison system, all that, and get on a team. But I plan on doing that as well. But we need men and women to get involved. And for this, a plug for this coming Saturday, we're going to hear about Safe Church and all of us that are involved with children and youth. We've got to get our background checks. So you can come Saturday and start that process, but we all need to do that, and it would probably be good for the whole church to do it. There'll be information on that. Our generosity cohort, you know, being stewards of all of God's generosity, there'll be a little piece on that. Plus, we'll have testimonies about Kairos and prisoner and family ministry. So I hope some of us are convicted and nudged. Even if you're not on a church board or involved in a ministry, maybe this is your one thing. Do that. I want to be part of that. And of course, Alpha and Potter's House are a big part of all this, where, you know, shining light, you know, with the love and grace and hope and light of Jesus for those who are searching for answers or just need prayer and support. Where's God working? Where is He calling you and me to be light? Do you feel compelled to be part of a mission team to go to Guatemala? I do. I'm not looking for hands now, but I got to put myself out there, right? Let's join where God is working. We can proclaim with Charles Wesley and his carol, light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Or if you like Bing Crosby, the child sleeping in the night, He will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Let there be light. Can you see it? Our world coming to Christ, overwhelmed with the love of God, falling on their knees in repentance. I did not know about You, God. I want more of You. I want to be saved. I want to have life. I see that happening. Let us arise and shine with God, with one another. Amen.